You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to hour number two of the Common Sense Show. And I tell you, we had an earful in hour number one. Before we go to our next guest, Paul Martin, let me remind you that we are brought to you by... Well, we're brought to you by preparewithdave.com, and I'll tell you, they're having a record month of sales because of the special that we're offering. But when we look at market penetration, we're not even close to getting America prepared for what's coming. So we've decided to stay with this special for a while longer. Now, what we've done here is we've taken food that we sold at 6 months intervals, 2 year amounts, and we've reduced that to 4 weeks because of the cost involvement. We used to sell it for $250, 25-year shelf life, great quality. Now it's down to $99. We want to remove every barrier that people have that keep them from being able to prepare their family for what's coming. Simply go to preparewithdave.com, no coupon code needed, and get that food at $99, was $250. And join in, folks, because I'm telling you, the first thing that's going to go in the crisis is food distribution, because your just-in-time delivery will be gone. PrepareWithDave.com. We're also brought to you by ReadyMadeResources.com. ReadyMade Resources brought to you by King Prepper, Bob Griswold, who consult with you for free. And that doesn't happen very often in very many places. He has everything you need for preparation, from water filtration to communications to night vision. He has it all. Go to readymaderesources.com. If you got questions, give Bob a call. He always has specials available. He finances the high ticket items. Can't lose with readymaderesources.com. Also, we're brought to you by Health Masters. And you know my feeling. I don't go to the doctor before I go to Health Masters. Health Masters has fixed me up in so many ways, and the same with Doug Hagman and all other people that are associated with our inner group of people that have formed. Well, we formed a coalition together, but we all share one thing in common, and that is healthmasters.com. Go to it. You can save 5% being a Common Sense Show listener. Take 5% off with the coupon code 5COMMON. That's who brings you our show for this hour, and hour number two on the Common Sense Show. We come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast, 5 to 8 p.m. on the West Coast. Joining me tonight in hour number two is Paul Martin of RevolutionRadio.org. Paul and I have been communicating almost on a daily basis now about all the things that are going on that threaten our very existence. And if you look at what we're offering in terms of our product sales and our vendor relationships, you can see it's all about prepping America to get through a crisis without the help of the government. Paul, I'm glad you could join us. And man, oh man, oh man, is there a lot going on.
Yeah, the basket is full, Dave. Geopolitically, economically, every area of our lives is just in turmoil right now.
It is. If you were to look at the crisis as it exists now, the crises, plural, where would you say we have the most vulnerability and the most American lives are at risk?
Gosh, that's a hard one to pick. Right now, I mean, if you look at the economic situation with the 2.5 quadrillion debt load on the planet right now, the only thing we've got to compare this with is the Venetian collapse in the mid 1400s. When that's when Venice was the finance capital of the world at the time, and they created a bubble. And when that bubble blew, it put Europe in the Dark Ages for about 300 years. And this one makes that one look like Sesame Street. And, I mean, everybody out there from Ron Paul, Albert Edwards, Mr. Greyerts from Matterhorn Securities, everybody is telling you to get ready. And, we're the credit markets are in very, very bad shape right now. When the credit markets break, trucking stops. So you need to get your food, people. But Mr. Greyert said 2-3 months ago on an interview with at King World News, he said, when this one blows, this one's going to take your breath away. And if you remember, it was last year, maybe a year and a half ago, that the SEC put out a report on how to handle a bank holiday to all the banks. And, told you how to shut down for the banks, what to do during a banking holiday, how to reopen, and there was five levels that they gave to the banks for you to get your money out of the bank. If you've got $12 million in there, if they say you get $100, that's all you're going to get. So you need to go long on cash, long on food. When the trucking stops, you're going to be looking at mass pandemonium. We've seen the videos over the years of the Christmas sales and people tasering somebody for sneakers and what happens at the Walmarts and stuff like that. Magnify that by about a million. And if they're going to have a bank holiday, that's probably going to mean the EBT cards also go down probably at the same time.
They already tested that. Do you remember about 3 years ago?
Yep.
And they took the EBT cards down for an afternoon, and there was mass chaos.
Yep, absolutely. Remember it well.
Well, you're just getting started here on the threats. You had a high-level contact in one of the alphabets. And tell the listening audience what this person recently did and why.
He abruptly quit in one day, handed in his resignation. I'm out of here. And he called and said, get ready for a revolution. And that can come from a lot of different areas. I mean, we know with Mr. Soros and the Antifa communists and all the other stuff, you've gone over many times the Saul Alinsky, what they were talking about. You wrote in the articles on it. But he felt that the threat of some sort of impending revolution, as he saw it, was soon. And that's why he abruptly quit in one day.
Okay, let me back up here as I stutter my way through the question. But it's eerily similar to my source and my friend, a very good friend who was in FEMA, Counter Bioterrorism, 2012. He and his wife show up at my basketball office when I finish practice. He tells me he's bugging out. You remember the story, don't you, Paul?
Absolutely.
And he told me, he said, if they don't get this populism under control, they being the shadowy figures that really run things, that they have bioweapons that the rest of the world doesn't even know about. He knew about them because it was his job to know. And this was before the days of Donald Trump and the rising tide of populism. And if you don't think populism isn't popular, Paul, I mean, what have we counted here this spring? What, 5 states and their teachers have gone on strike? I mean, that's populism, and we're seeing evidence of it every day. And I think the time is growing near where they feel they're not going to be able to control the people. Is this what your source was afraid of? Is that the people are going to stand up to a level where it's going to be the irresistible force versus the immovable object?
That's the way it appears. I mean, you know, my source had quit, you know, it was 4 years ago, and he said that the bioweapon will be the weapon of choice they're going to use on us. And I posted up at revolutionradio.org a couple of times over Bill Gates, you know, saying there's a pandemic coming, you got to get ready, got to take your vaccines. So that raised my threat level up about 2,500%. Because, I mean, the guy's a globalist. He's a population control guy. And we've said many times over this broadcast that, you know, there's two things that is such an easy fix for him. Shut the power off, have the mother of a pandemic. You know, when your kids are sick, mom and dad sick, aunt and uncle sick, grandma and grandpa sick, everybody's sick. Your battle position is severely damaged. We'll say it that way.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But let's look at Bill Gates. He came out about a week ago and said 30 million people are going to die. There's going to be some pandemic somewhere, and here it comes. Watch out. And I'm investing $1 billion to counter this. Of course, it's another excuse to make money on his vaccines. But what does he know that we should?
Well, he probably knows the same thing that both of our sources knows. I mean, I think that the president has been severely damaged, and I'll make that clear. How many times have you ever seen Donald Trump use a teleprompter?
One time,
and that's when he was announcing the strikes on Syria. So they wrote the script for him, which tells me that they've got him. Now, what happens after this with the Trump supporters and in the country, and you've got everybody and their dog wanting to impeach him and stuff like that? But we're at a really, really perilous corridor here, Dave.
Well, it's one that there's no turning back. In fact, let me turn to another part of this. Something that we've not talked about here on the Common Sense Show for quite some time, Paul, and I'm really concerned about it. You told a story to me, and we tried to track this story down for over a year, and we never really got beyond the initial report. There was always this excuse and that excuse. But the initial part of the story matched what the late Joshua Coy told me on my show about what was happening in northern Alabama. And let me get right to the heart of what he said. He was the host then at WYDE, the largest FM station in a 4-state area in which he was broadcasting on Saturday nights. And Josh had people calling in from that area and saying, we have large properties in this area, and we're prevented from going into certain parts of them. Government officials meet us, DHS with the UN officials meet us, and they stop us from going into certain areas. They go, they now control that area. And they knew there was construction going on because they could hear it. And they also saw the comings and goings of armed personnel. They saw foreigners there as well, too. And they would just run right through their land like they had a complete and permanent easement, and they had a right to do it. And these people would call into Josh's show, and we're talking about this week after week after week. And I think it was one of the reasons why Joshua Coy was taken off the air. He was enormously popular. And then they pulled the plug on him, and despite his ratings, and then they prevented any other talk show host from ever interviewing him. And they told him, if you ever show up to be interviewed here at this station, we will call the police and have you arrested. You know what I'm talking about, though, in Colorado, don't you, Paul?
Absolutely.
Let's tell that story here, because we need to connect some dots.
Well, it was 2 years ago now. A friend of mine was over doing some work at the house for a hot water heater, and so he was getting ready to leave, and we stepped out on the front porch, and he was telling me that his ex-wife, one of her best friends, it was a very large property owner out in eastern Colorado. He, due to his grandfather's death, had willed him this ranch. And he'd never been on the property much, and a businessman, travels, you know, the usual stuff. So he said, well, I think I'll just take a spin around the property. And he got to one portion of the property where there was a mesa. And on this mesa was these very large black metal doors. And he, you know, what the heck is that? So he goes over to try to open the doors up, and all of a sudden three Suburbans appear out of nowhere, black Suburbans. The guys jump out with M16s and tell him he has to leave the property. And he said, no, I don't. This is my property. Here, I've got the boundaries on my phone. And the guy said, sir, we're telling you right now you have to leave. This is U.S. government property. And he started to argue with him again, and one guy let the bolt fly home on his M16, so he left. And I've been trying to contact that lady for 2 years, and haven't succeeded yet. She travels quite a bit too, and now whether she's scared to talk about it or whatever, but if there's a, you know, that really fits with what Josh Coy was talking about in Alabama. And you remember we did a little podcast here a while back with the very popular constitutional attorney Larry Beecraft was saying that there is a lot of Chinese in his area. And the trick...
What's his area? Paul, before you go on, what's his area?
Huntsville.
Yeah, we'll get into that too. Go ahead.
And the very interesting thing that he said was that they seem to come in waves. You know, he said they shop at all the usual places, the grocery stores and Walmarts and places he goes to. But he said there'll be a bunch of them, and all of a sudden then that group disappears and another wave comes through. So they're putting these people somewhere, Dave.
Well, I hope you're sitting down for this one, Paul, because I haven't let this out in a real direct way, and I'm still working on contacting the lady who sent me the information, but in Florida. And she didn't identify the specific area, but from what she said, I believe it's in the Naples area. There's a restaurant there, and it was run by Chinese. And they weren't very public friendly, and they would serve people, and they spoke Chinese, and there were lots of strange comings and goings, and it attracted the attention of the locals and saying, man, there's something really weird here about this. And very similar to the story that Dr. Susan Hellman used to tell me about Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and the Russians. So the Chinese are there, and one day this restaurant is totally boarded up. And they go, wow, that's interesting. A week later, it was reopened, and it wasn't the Chinese running it. They had changed their cuisine, and now it was people from Russia. How do you like them apples, Paul?
Wow.
And the same MO, same exact MO. And you're looking at way stations that they move people in and out of to infiltrate into the United States. And we know that they are here. We have the proof 9 times Sunday. In fact, you know, Paul, I, you know, we're eventually going to go live video on this radio show. And we're talking about building a studio and this and that and the other. And so here the announcement is. But one of the things, if we were live, I could put this picture up that was from 2012 at Fort Carson, a year following the agreement signed by Obama and the Russian Foreign Ministry that said, hey, you can bring 15,000 Russian soldiers into our country and it's okay. And that was the first 15,000. And they were ostensibly brought in for help with emergencies. Oh, that's always the nice term. We're here to help you. Oh, we know you have a National Guard, but you still need our help. Oh, we know you have FEMA, but you still need our help. Oh, we know you have local relief agencies, but you still need these Russian soldiers. And so Obama legalized it to bring these guys in. And I have photos that I have published many times on the Common Sense Show, and you've seen them. Fort Carson, Russian soldiers training with American soldiers. Remember those photos, Paul?
Yeah, those are Spetsnaz.
Yeah. Yeah, the highest level of the Russian military. No question about it. They're elite special ops. So we're seeing this story in Florida. We've seen it in Gatlinburg. We've seen it all over the country. Russians and Chinese. Russians and Chinese. Steve Quayle has multiple reports. He's been reporting on this longer than I have. I came along, started reporting on this in 2011, and I got the mental illness label tagged on me for daring to report it. Even when you publish the pictures, people don't want to believe it. It's amazing, isn't it?
Totally. It's totally. It's hard to digest all of that for rank and file people that, you know, don't do this on a daily basis. It's just really difficult to, you know, wrap your brain around it. I mean, I can totally understand.
I never thought I would see this. I mean, I didn't wake up one day and say, gee, let me make up this story about the Russians and Chinese. You know, I went where the data took me. In fact, the data took me right to the Voice of Russia. Did I ever share with you the content of that interview I had with the Russians back in, I don't remember what it is now, 2013, I think it was. Did you ever follow that?
No.
Yeah, well, the Voice of Russia contacted me, and I've got articles about it up on the Common Sense Show, and we actually had a war with each other on this. But they contacted me and said, we would like you to come on our show, comrade, and talk about your allegations of Russian troop presence on American soil and how you've taken this obscure military document called FM 39.4, and you're saying that someday the Russians, the Chinese, and whoever is wearing a blue helmet of the UN will be running FEMA camps in which American dissidents are incarcerated. And I said, I'd be happy to come on there. But I also smelled a setup. I knew this was a setup. And it was my good fortune that the main interviewer, who was kind of a hard-nosed Boris Yeltsin type, and he seemed to really like his vodka, because I had checked out some of his previous broadcasts, and I thought, oh, I got to do an Alex Jones on this guy, you know, and how Alex was interviewed by CNN, by Piers, whatever his name was, about guns, and Alex went ballistic on the guy. And I said, I don't think I can do that as good as Alex, because that's not really in my personality, but I'm sure going to do my darndest to do that imitation. And I went on there, and I had this girl on there, and I said, oh, yeah, how long have you been in America? How old are you? 26. So I thought, oh, man, I'm going to eat this one alive. And I did. She probably didn't say 30 words in the whole broadcast. I eviscerated her. She'd bring up something. What about this? And here's the document. And it was just a 9-minute dialogue. Well, here's how they handled it, though, Paul. This was pretty funny. The next day when they posted the archive, and this was a big deal, it went out over their two radio stations in Washington, D.C. and New York City, and then 38 stations in the old communist bloc, including Russia. And they had to save face because they just got their ass handed to them. So they come out and they go, extremist conspiracy theorist Dave Hodges. I go, oh, that's pretty cool. The Russians are taking a page out of the CIA. A conspiracy theorist. And then they went after me. And so I went after them in print. on my website. I think it was the first or second year that I had my website, and I just blasted them, because now I took what I said in the interview and I put the links in there and said, FM 39.4, paragraph H, subsection 2, here's what it says. And I destroyed them. And I mean, this was like the final burial ground. They're 6 feet under and all the dirt is on top of them. And so I had someone write into me on the comment section for the last article that I wrote. And she said, well, it is true we are state-owned media, but we don't use propaganda all the time. They actually said that, Paul. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah. And it was, it wasn't long after that I republished a video that Sherry Wilcox sent to me. And it was a video of Russian soldiers in uniform in DHS vehicles leaving Tennessee and entering Kentucky. Hello, case closed. Russians, you got your ass kicked. And this was fully exposed. Now, Paul, despite all this, there were people I won't mention. They're known for hating Jews in the independent media. And they started to eviscerate me for attacking the Russians. They're just people that don't want to believe. You could have evidence nine times Sunday and they don't want to believe it, Paul.
Well, they're, you know, a lot of people out there, even from our side of the fence, I believe, are terribly, terribly controlled.
Well, I agree. They're controlled, or they're frightened, or they have cognitive dissonance, and that's when you're presented with a new world paradigm. Your brain is unable to handle the shift, and so then you create defense mechanisms to basically challenge the validity of the evidence that's in front of your face. And it's a term that psychologists and sociologists use called cognitive dissonance. And we have a great deal of it in this country. In fact, Paul, I can't tell you the number of times on a daily basis I get an email that goes something like this. Dear Dave, I thought you were nuts when you talked about Russians on American soil, and I thought the evidence was fabricated, the videos, the pictures, until I saw them in Walmart in Loveland, Colorado. I mean, that's the kind of email that I'll get, or the kind of comment I'll get attached to an article that I write. These people are here, and Steve Quayle and I've talked about this a lot. The Russians are here to collect the booty when they start going door to door and under the UN flag. The Chinese are here to get the infrastructure, but they both mean us harm. This is a very, very big deal, and you can thank Obama for this. So, Paul, let's remind people that my story. Out here, I live, what, probably about 7 or 8 miles east of a Toyota proving ground. And one day, about 2 years ago, I saw a military caravan. Guys in full camo, woodland camo, kind of out of place for the desert. And I tried to follow them because I was coming out from the post office off a side road, and I live really remote, and it's all two-lane. And it happened to be at rush hour, so any one of the 300 families that lives out here was out there on the road coming home from work, and I couldn't catch up to those guys, and I followed, and I got close enough to get to the Toyota Proving Grounds where I saw this little caravan going into the Toyota Proving Grounds, and I tried to follow them in, and they stopped me. And this became a highly secure area, and then they started passing laws. You can't even fly a drone over the Toyota Proving Grounds, because we were going to do that with a camera. And then it was pointed out to me by a neighbor, Dave, they just passed a law about this. And if you do that, it's federal offense. You go to prison for a long time. So we've even had that activity out here in our area. Paul, and I want you to dovetail on this. I want you to tell the people about the Russian and foreign troop activity in northern Colorado that you've experienced firsthand.
Well, a lot of the... One of my longtime good friends is, he likes to travel and go around and snoop around and stuff. And a lot of the reports I've got are from him as far as the um, the reports from up in the mountains. I mean, he was in the subway at Estes Park, and there were three very well-built young men and speaking Russian, and in line they got up to order their sandwiches, and they broke into, you know, perfect Nebraska English, and they liked the sporting goods stores, particularly the big five stores. A good friend of mine has since moved, but he was an armor for the military, and he had his own business on doing work on weapons. And he had a Larimer County Sheriff deputy that had brought a piece over to get worked on him, and he told him what he wanted down and everything, and he knew where this guy worked. And he goes, "Have you seen any Russians up there?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah. We don't like them very much. Said they're not very nice." And his duty was from up from Estes over to Allen Park and that whole area in there. And so he came back to pick up the weapon and a few weeks later, and he said, "Hey, you still seeing those Russians up there?" And he goes, "Yeah." He said, "They're bringing in their women now." He also was out at the range where we shoot, and it was a couple of years ago, and he went out to the parking lot, got in his car, and he called me and said, "Hey, there's a bunch of Russians here. I'll call you back." And they all spoke, you know, very Slavic English, and he later told me, he said, "I've never seen anybody shoot a handgun like that." And after they were through shooting their pistols, and he goes, "Wow." He goes, "You guys shoot really good." He said, "I've never anybody shoot a handgun that good." And he said, "You guys in the military," and they had an older handler. And he said, "No, we're mechanical engineers." He said, "Well, you guys shoot really good for mechanical engineers." And it's just story after story after story. It's been, you know, and it's been going on for ever since that story broke in out of Denver, with pictures, you know, that there were 25 Spetsnaz troops training at Fort Carson. Well, the government never gives us the real number on anything, doesn't matter what it is. So I called John Moore, and I said, see if you can find out some real numbers on this. And he called me 48 hours later, and he said, "Paul, this is directly from Langley." He said, "There are five 250-man advance parties in the five largest bases in the United States." And it was about, a couple of months after that, a real nice young lady in an Army uniform walked into my store, and I said, "Well, where are you stationed?" And she said, "Fort Hood." And I said, "Are you seeing any, you know, foreign troops on your base?" And she says, "Yeah, we got them." She said, "There's a part of the base is that they're concentrated there. We don't go in there." And I mean, we can do this for another hour, Dave.
Yeah, I know. I you know, remember in Jade Helm 15, I wrote about Fort Hood. And then in Jade Helm 16, I talked about this is where they were conducting, this is how terrorists do their job kind of stuff, and they were using foreign troops to do it. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, here's the point of all this, folks. We're going to kind of circle this and then move into something else, but they're here. The proof is overwhelming. They're here. We have pictures we published of UN telecommunications equipment that's EMP proof, and that heightens our concern about the EMP attack that's probably coming. And we're seeing this equipment being spread throughout the United States as people sent me photos. They're here. And they're here in such a way, Paul, that it's absolutely frightening. Did you know about this border agreement that the U.S. signed in 1967?
No.
I didn't tell you about that?
No.
Let me see if I can pull this up here. So bear with me here as the travails of radio here So we're on the air, but I wasn't intending to talk about this, but this occurred to me. This is kind of where we're at here, and I'm at the place where I've got my notes, and I did do a podcast on this here, and okay, I gotta go to my own hypertext here, okay, and voila, here it is as I scroll down. And what it is, it's an agreement that the U.S. government signed in the 60s under LBJ, a very loyal patriot that helped murder President Kennedy. And let me see if I have it here. Okay, here it is. This is incredible, Paul. If you've not heard this before, this is shocking. The UN controls our borders, and I did a podcast on this. There's a 1951 Refugee Convention that ended up in what we call 1967 protocols, and we became a signatory in 1968. And the Refugee Convention came up with legal codes that we're bound to follow because of our signatures. Of course, we could get out of this at any time, and why Trump hasn't, I don't know, and I'll tell you, until Trump gets rid of these regulations, I wouldn't want to spend one tax dollar on building a wall because it won't mean a damn thing. Listen to this. Article 3 precludes a Muslim travel ban. Article 16 mandates free legal aid for refugees. Isn't that nice? We get to pay for these guys when they show up at our door and demand to come in. Article 17 requires a refugee to work. Article 22 mandates free education. Article 23, free welfare. Article 24, free health care. I've said, Paul, the best way to make a living in America today is to renounce your citizenship and declare yourself to be a refugee. But it goes on. Article 26, you can travel anywhere in the United States. Article 28, you can leave the United States and return unabated. Articles 32 and 33 make deportation almost impossible. And Article 31 prohibits imposing penalties on account of their illegal entry or presence on refugees. How do you like them apples, Paul?
Wow.
Yeah, and actually someone sent this to me, and it took me a couple of days to track this down. And sure enough, voila, there it was. Got the hypertext link and the whole nine yards. Now, Trump could do away with this. He could simply say, Senate, you need to pass this, and if you don't, I'll expose you to the public for who and what you are. So they could overcome this treaty simply by saying we no longer follow it, and Trump's not doing it. Should we be concerned, Paul?
Well, as old as that is, in as many circles as they've got him running in, he may not even know about it.
Let me ask the question from a different direction, and I'm not trying to box you into an answer, but I had Gary Haven on a week ago, and Gary Haven was one of Trump's biggest contributors, and I mean financially. This is a man who's friends with Rand Paul. He hangs out with Governor Abbott, the governor of Texas. Those are the circles that he runs in. He spent somewhere, I'm guessing now, and I apologize, Gary, if I get this wrong, but I know I'm in the neighborhood. He spent somewhere around $18 to $20 million of his own money to help save refugees in Haiti, where the Clintons had run off with billions of dollars of UN aid through the Clinton Foundation. And he came on my show, and this is a man who tirelessly supported Trump and used the airwaves when he was on my show to promote his support of Trump during the campaign. And he said flat out, Trump is compromised. That's from Trump's inner circle of supporters. What do you think, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. Totally. I mean, I knew the jig was up when he was reading off that teleprompter like we talked about earlier.
How long has he been Trump compromised, and how long have you realized it?
Well, I've suspected it early on because, I mean, we talked about it on the podcast we did running up, you know, to the election, and he got elected, and you know, I mean, there's a vein of thought and a vein of families, you know, basically been running this planet for 600 years, and we said on those podcasts, you know, they're just not going to sing Kumbaya and walk off into the wilderness. Well, gee, we got beat. They got too many weapons. They can crash markets. They can shut the power off. Bill Gates can start a pandemic. I mean, there's all kinds of, I mean, they could nuke D.C. They don't care. So I knew the last thing that these people want is a term like make America great again, America first. That's anathema. These people are globalists. That's anathema to them. So, I mean, I did they show him the Zapruder film of the Kennedy assassination? Have they threatened Barron? Have they threatened his family? I mean, they've done something pretty harsh.
Well, in the first hour, Paul Preston said, we talked about something called the Shining Path, which is one of the conduits between Middle East terrorists and Central American drug cartels. And, of course, we know they train in places like El Salvador and Honduras to become a paramilitary organization, and they infiltrate into the United States, a la Kathy Rubio in her firsthand eyewitness testimony. So when we look at all this, the answer is yes and hell yes. No question. But see, he has to know this. This is where the Trump train comes to a stop for me. Is he talks about the border with great bluster, and I'm going to build the wall, build the wall, build the wall. Okay, but we still see these incursions in a massive scale coming across the border. He could put 1 million men. He could call up the entire National Guard. He's not doing what needs to be done to protect the southern border from invasion. And that's what greatly concerns me. And the Shining Path, to put a cap on this, the Shining Path threatened to assassinate Trump, and he didn't go to South America because of it. So, you know, you asked when was he controlled? That's when I knew he was controlled, when he canceled the Central American trip. That's when I got the feeling. And then remember, Kushner was retained or detained down there, and Ivanka had disappeared, and all that mystery associated with that, and I reported on that. So yeah, Paul, that's when the Trump train came to a stop for me. The presidency has undoubtedly been compromised, and he's still doing some good things with the economy. Gary Haven believes it started in the campaign. His being compromised. It certainly was before Inauguration Day when he did his interview with 60 Minutes and said he wasn't prosecuting Hillary. That's when I started to have doubts. How about you? I mean, how do you see his presidency? Has he totally abandoned his base? Was he a phony all along? What do you think?
You know, I don't know the absolute truth. I don't think, I mean, there's people that do, but it's way above our pay grade. But, you know, the bottom line is these globalists, the bankers, the military industrial complex, the usual suspects, are not going to let him make America great again. They're not going to put America first. Everything he talked about on the run-up to the election was like throwing holy water, you know, on a vampire or something. I mean, it was just it was frightening to those people that anything like that could happen, and they're just simply not going to let it happen.
Then why the heck don't they just kill him?
Maybe that'd be too obvious. You know, I mean, they could give him the, you know, the heart attack pill or whatever like that, but that would raise too many flags. If I was them, now that it's fact that he is compromised and nothing's going to happen to Hillary. Did you see that report out of the DOJ where they said, well, gosh, gee whiz, you know, it'll probably take us about 75 years to go through those Hillary emails on her private server. Ding, ding, ding. What that the redneck answer to this is, there is so much stuff in those emails that it would bring the government down. They cannot have any way have that released. I mean, we've seen all of the within the Department of Justice and all that stuff backtracking on everything. The death of Seth Rich. They'll just take out anybody they want to. I mean, that's standard operational procedure for the Clintonistas there. I mean, I started doing radio with Bill Clinton in office. I mean, we actually had the Clinton death count going on, and
I recall. And Norm Resnick.
Yep. So, I mean, this. I'm pretty sure, you know, that they've told him, hey, you can have the plane, you can travel, go back to Mar-a-Lago when you want to, just do whatever you want to, but here's our program, and this is the way it's going to be done, or some really, really, you know, unfortunate things are going to happen to people that you really care about. And he has no other choice but to say okay, or, you know, face some really, really, really bad things with his family.
Yeah. Well, by this point in the interview, Paul, all the cognitive dissonance crowd has disappeared into the night. They've gone back to watch CNN. So in the few minutes that we have left, I wanted to go down this familiar road, stuff we have reported on in the past in various venues, not necessarily all on this show, to build the case that we're on our own. There is going to be no white hats coming to the rescue. You're on your own. You're on your own with food and water and taking care of yourself, defending your yard. You're on your own. And so, Paul, I mean, is it an overreaction to say that we're going to have to become like the Viet Cong to survive?
Well, we're definitely on our own. I mean, there is no way that these people are going to do anything to protect the American people. I mean, with the amount of division in this country, I mean, we're already in kind of like a little mental civil war already. But it's a possibility that the country could break up.
Well, we talked about that with Paul Preston in the first hour about CalExit and how it's California was chosen to break away from the United States by the globalists because it would take away 25% of our retail and about 60% of our agriculture. And that would devastate the country and cause the collapse economically of the country and make it much easier to take it over. And that's the premise that we're both working off of. And so you're kind of saying the same thing through the side door. And I happen to agree with you. First of all, let me ask you this question directly. Is civil war, in your mind, guaranteed? Is it a matter of when and not if?
I'd say there's about an 80% chance.
Yeah, I'm going to label you as the eternal optimist, because right now I fall into the 99%, and that 1% is reserved for divine intervention from the Almighty, because I think He's the only one that can bring us back from the abyss. But I also believe we're a nation under judgment, and as such, He has no motivation to rescue our sorry butts.
Well, I gotta agree with that. But
yeah, killing 60 million babies, and of course the latest the post birth abortion by a year plus, baby Alfie in the UK, and Mike Adams is claiming he can prove that baby Alfie died as a result of lethal injection, And the only thing I can take away from this is that the state is determined to prove we control you. We're your God. We can kill your young.
Yeah, that was blatant. Yeah, I put that article up at Revolution Radio. That was, I mean, they're in our face in multiple directions. But the fact that we're on our own is an absolute certainty. What happens after that, right now, minute by minute. But you've got, one of the scariest things for me, and I've talked about it on here, is the amount of people in this country that are on SSRIs. A really good friend of mine died recently, and he's Mormon, and it was about a year before he passed away, and I was talking about my sincere fear of trucking shutting down, no pharmaceutical stuff like that, and he said 50% of the people in his church were on SSRIs. And I just had a beautiful little coworker die about 3 years ago. Her boyfriend had a bad wreck, and he was a great welder. I mean, the guy was a Picasso. And so he was depressed about not going to work. So, his doctor did the usual thing. Here, try these. Here, try that. That didn't work. And they put him on something. She didn't say, but it literally completely changed the kid. And she was telling me at work, she said, this isn't a guy I fell in love with. I'm going to have to leave. And it was a week later, she was taking a nap, and he went in and shot her in the head and then shot himself. And that's typical of what happens with people on these SSRIs, yeah, all these mass shooting and stuff. All these people are on that stuff. And that's,
those are the black box warnings, Paul. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry to jump in here like this, but I just looked at the clock. Gosh, we're out of time. And I apologize for the abrupt departure, but I think we've established the fact we are on our own. We're headed in the direction of civil war very quickly, and people better take personal preparation. Paul Martin of RevolutionRadio.org. Visit the site often. Paul, this may be bleak, and of course we're going to be called fearmongers, but I think we're just reporting the facts as they are. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul. Look forward to having you back again.
Thank you, Dave.
We'll be back with hour number three with Chris Gitzy from Before It's News, or the former owner of Before It's News, and we're going to talk about economically things you should be doing to prepare for the collapse. We'll see you in hour number three.